Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Diva of Days of Our Lives. This is Marianne, and we'll be talking about the show this week. We're also going to be talking about Ken Corday's interview, which should be interesting. And you can have a lot to say about Ken Corday's interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can find us on Facebook at Diva of Dole, or Diva Days, and Diva Days of Our Lives on Twitter, and we're on iTunes. I'm Mama underscore Hooch on Twitter, and I have Carrie here with me tonight. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
I'm at Diva of Dole on Twitter.
Yeah, help
also,
me out.
On the blog, divaofdole.com, there we have a Google Plus page, you have the e-newsletter. You can sign up for your Facebook Diva Days and the fan page Diva Days Our Lives. You can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, and you can subscribe to our iTunes page. So lots of places you can find us.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's feeling a little under the weather tonight, so we're seeing how good this will go. So, let's see. I guess we want to pimp Amy and Bob Hapka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know they had. Did they have an anniversary not too long ago? I think, or a birthday or something. I know they were in Buffalo, New York, from their Facebook.
Yeah. Amy had a birthday. I'm not sure they had an anniversary too or not. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know something was going on with them. And Anna. I guess we don't know if Anna's coming tonight. She said maybe, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't know if she'll be here or not. So, do we want to start with the show, or do we want to start with the interview?
Oh, let's talk about the interview.
Okay. Yeah. We maybe want to bring on Jamie. I know she wanted to talk about the interview.
Sure. Yeah, we'll get her in a couple of minutes. Yeah, let's...
Okay, because I know she tweeted to me she wanted to bitch about the interview. Well, as everybody, I guess, knows, or if they don't know, Daytime Royalty... did an interview. And who's the girl that did the interview? I'm not quite sure what her name is.
Lisi.
Is that how you pronounce it? Lisi. I know she's been on Daytime Royalty she's been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she did have a really good interview. She asked them a lot of questions and a lot of tough questions. I think questions that the fans wanted to know and have been wanting to know. I guess one of the toughest questions, or one of the questions everybody wanted to know, is if they would ever bring back Matt Ashford and Teo Penglis to the show. And I guess with the 50th coming up, they wanted to know how, if they would do the same thing that GH did, bring back fan favorites. And he more or less said he's not going to bring back fan favorites, or just particularly those two. The way he said it, he said they're dead, and to bring them back would not be fair to the fans. It wouldn't make sense, and we couldn't do that to them again, which is a load of bull crap, because they just brought Nick back from the dead. They just brought Kristen back. They just brought – I mean, they bring everybody back from the dead. He kind of talked in circles, and also he insulted the fans' intelligence, as far as I'm concerned. He's an idiot. I've always said he's an idiot. It just did not make sense. He basically didn't answer her question. Other than just coming right out and say, I can't stand Matt Ashford and I don't like Teo Penglis, so we're not bringing him back, and that's the reason. Or, we don't have the money to bring them back, or we just don't want to bring them back. We can't write for their characters. And they've basically slammed Jack's character, as far as, I'm concerned. It's like they're just throwing him under the bus.
But they mentioned Jack almost every day on the show. I feel like every time
every
Jennifer.
Day.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah, but not in a good and not in a good way.
Yeah, I don't even
like
know why they're bringing up the rape again this week. It made it's just completely
like that's like such old news, and Kayla kind of Kayla forgave him like years ago.
Yeah,
like that's like done and over with. I guess it's all I guess to go or go back to the JJ and Paige. I guess trying to bring you know. And I don't get this whole thing with Eve Donovan not liking JJ. I mean, or trying, like, why is she meddling in her daughter's life? I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's so pathetic. So pathetic. Mm-hmm. I mean, what woman, I mean, what mother does that? I mean, I guess there are mothers that do that and women that do that kind of, play this kind of manipulative tricks. I don't know. It's just very strange to me. But, so that's all. I don't know. What did you think of the Corday thing? It's just, in fact, she asked him twice, and she even said, you know, the fan, more or less kind of telling him the fans would like to see that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And he still gave
yeah.
her the runner.
Yeah, I saw it. Well, I know they've been trying to get him for a while.
Yeah.
And Lisa, let me just want to say Lisa did a great job. And they still will do, though, if you oh. read their interviews. You know, they ask shit string questions. You're not kidding. Easy questions like you would get from Sober Digest. Yeah,
uh-huh.
So they like I can't remember last time someone really hit Corday hard on anything. So I'm not sure if Corday was completely unprepared or maybe it was the opposite and he had his guard up. But he was kind of shitty towards her, I thought. But he kept saying she was asking him trap questions. And it's like, no, she's asking him questions that the fans want answers for. That's not a trap question. Like, what the hell? He wasn't giving away any spoilers anyway, so I don't understand what his point was. You know, what did he expect her to ask? If he's not, you know, if he's not going to divulge spoilers, and he doesn't like the questions she's asking, what was the point of doing the interview? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, when you interview an actor, been doing it now for over 5 years, there's some that just don't give you anything. And it's
yeah.
hard. I mean, Lauren Coswell will not spoil anything, but she's good at still giving you an entertaining interview. You know, and she knows she's going to get questions about spoilers and stuff like that. She knows that. And so
they all know that, you know.
Yeah.
They can choose.
She's very diplomatic about it and very sweet about it. And he was kind of being a dick about it. And, I mean, every time we read, even Corday and Sober Digest, every time he opens his mouth, it's like, oh, shit. But you know, he's not going to tell you what you want to hear.
No,
you know
he
I mean?
Never, and you wonder whether it's on purpose, too. He just,
mm-hmm.
or if it's all for publicity, that he knows when he answers that, it's going to, they want to get the fans, I think, upset. They don't want to
yeah.
make the fans happy. They never want to make the fans happy. They always want to make them mad. They never give the fans what they want. So I don't know how they can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but usually it's over Digest. He spoils too much, and then we're all pissed off. Like, geez, well, he just blew
yeah,
that whole
he usually
story
gives away
off.
Everything. Yeah, he gives away everything. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
see,
I don't
that's
know.
The thing. If they've been gotten in trouble, but Corday does it all the time, and no one says you know jack shit to him. But this time, though, I mean, he was just telling the party line. He was defending them taping April right now.
Ugh.
So that was one thing, you know, Numbus really wanted to hear. The second thing Numbus wanted to hear was they're bringing on a bunch of new characters. I mean, really?
Yeah.
We already have a ton and they suck. I don't understand.
They've been bringing on new characters. This is
yeah, it's been never ending, and they've been horrible. They brought in uninteresting characters with so-so writing, with actors with very little charisma. So it's just like, great, so we have more people with mysterious pasts who aren't mysterious at all and aren't interesting. That's what we need. You know, more mysterious new characters that are mysterious. I mean, there's already yeah, there's what, there's an Asian mother coming on with her Asian son. I think there's supposed to be an African American guy in his 20s. It seems like there's a whole bunch of unrelated characters coming on that, you know, I don't care about.
Right. I guess I don't know what they're going to do once James Scott and Ally Sweeney leave. Because I'm watching it less now. When they leave, I'm going to be watching it even less, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not as interested. And the only story really that I'm really interested in is their story. And the whole Demir, you know, tie-in and stuff. And yeah, once they leave, gosh, and I've gotten away from it now. Once they leave, I'm probably really going to get away from it, and I'm probably going to go more to GH, which I have been lately, so I don't know.
Yeah, so without seeing EJ and Kristen, too, I mean, I thought Allie Davidson was amazing this week as Kristen and Susan. I mean, I never liked Susan Banks. I mean, hated Susan Banks with a passion. I hated that whole storyline with Eileen playing four characters. Hated it. But she was just hilarious as Susan. I mean, she was cracking up James Scott. And you could tell he was cracking up.
And did you see that? He couldn't. You know, he had that little smirk on his face, and I know he was trying to keep himself from laughing. It was funny. Yeah. And it was like,
James
he's
not like
to
be,
kinda, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, James doesn't like to be one-upped at all. He does not like to be one-upped. He's always trying to be top dog.
And that wasn't just... Yeah, it was kind of like, EJ's thinking his mother's being a little strange, a little comical, and he's laughing. But I really think that was more James, you know, trying not to laugh, you know, because it was so funny and hilarious. And she was so hilarious when it was so funny when her and Sammy both ran into each other. They go, eek! They both, like, looked at each other and went, ew, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had the same reaction to each other. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, so
and when Kristen saw her, too.
So with James leaving pretty quickly here, and then Allison after that with the kids, and then Eileen Davidson leaving in November, it's just like, what the hell am I supposed to watch after that? I'm supposed to watch freaking Danifer and JJ and Paige and a bunch of new people. I mean, the only thing I look forward to is Kimberly coming back for Christmas for a little bit. That's pretty much it. There's nothing else for me to look forward to. I guess I do like Hope and Aiden, but I mean, I'm sure Days will screw that up. Like they screwed up Eric and Nicole. They really screwed them up pretty good. But so the interview, there was nothing really encouraging about the Cordae interview at all. So basically, The only return we have coming up is Melanie, which he said he watches the show every day, but yet he didn't realize Molly Burnett's not on the air, and she's not going to be on for at least a couple weeks. Like, she's not even going to be on until November. So
we all know he lied. I mean, the man has lied since how long? You catch him in lies all the time. He constantly lies. So, but I guess what we were trying to get out of him, so what he's saying is, he's not bringing any veterans back for the 50th, right? That's what I understand from what. I can't believe they're not going to do a 50th anniversary show and not bring back people. Like
I didn't get that impression. I got that impression that maybe they don't have a plan yet, or he doesn't know what's going on for the 50th. And that's kind of what I got.
I
didn't get there's a denial.
Plan it now.
If they're doing April, but they should be doing something. Well, technically,
because you have to contact
next November. You know, it's 13 months away.
Yeah. But from what they're filming, it's getting closer, you know, from where they are. I don't know. It would be such a big mistake. You know, that's what everyone's looking forward to. Is that all these, you know, veteran actors return, except for Matt and Teo. I don't think we're going to, you know, if they bring all the veterans back, you know, those two probably will not be there. You know, whether Cordae invites them or whether by choice they would want to return. I don't know. That's the thing, too.
Here's the exact quote. Okay, Lisi said, a few years ago, the show did a lot of promotion for the big reset that initially brought in a lot of excitement. Are you anticipating the same kind of excitement for the 50th anniversary? And Cordae said, yes, there will be. I know specifics to give you now because we are hammering that story out as we speak. So that's all he said about that.
But he's still saying, like, Matt and Taya will not, I mean, those characters won't be back. They're dead. And there was a body. There was no body. There's no body for Matt or for Jack.
There was no body for Jack. There was a body, though, for Tony. So,
yeah. And then I saw some comments saying, well,
like, though.
Yeah. Well, Andre supposedly died, too. I think, what was it, if I can remember correctly, Sean pulled the plug on Andre. Well, you know, so what? And also, somebody made a comment in, I was reading through the comments, and they said, well, a stake through the heart is pretty much a done deal. Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't get these people. It's a done deal for the people that you don't like, but it's okay to bring these other people back. You know, well, you know, Nick was drowned, and then, of course, we had Chelsea was a stillborn baby, and she, you know, it's like, really? You can bring anybody back at any time. I mean, that's just what soaps are. You know, to say that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
I think with the writers, with it maybe a possible writers change and maybe the ratings tanking, that's probably the only thing that's going to bring them back at this point. You need a writer with a more like the writers from GH, more of a positive attitude towards the
Like Ross. Yeah. Like producer and a writer.
Yeah, and the only character he really seemed to say positive things about was Patch, which is hilarious, because Stephen Nichols ripped Corday and Tom on the new one when him and Mary Beth got let go. So he was even nastier than anything Teo or Matt Ashford said. I mean, actually, we interviewed Matt a month apart on Jack's final scenes, and he actually didn't say anything negative at all, but he was letting fans know he
And Teo's never said anything negative about Corday either.
Mostly Tomlin.
Yeah, and as long as Tomlin's there, Teo will definitely not be back, or Matt, as long as Tomlin's there.
So Nichols and Mary Beth really, you know, ripped on the new ones over Digest and said, I mean, if you can see their last episode, their last scene, you know, Stephen was ad-libbing, and he knew he was gone. He was just making a big deal about it, like, I'll see you guys later. Bye. You know, he was, I can't remember exactly what Steve Johnson said, but, it was obvious he was kind of mildly saying goodbye, and you could tell he kind of got gypped, or that was the last of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't know why he couldn't just say, hey, you know what, never say never.
Right.
You know?
That's what they say, never
really
done.
Yeah.
But
I
don't
know.
Yeah, I'd love to see them come back, even if it's just for a cameo, just out of respect and for the work that they've done over, you know, 20-some years, they should bring, even if it's as a ghost, you know, you could say they're dead. But it's a ghost returning or, like, spooking somebody, you know, Tony could come back, or Tony or Andre could come back, or same with Jack, come back and talk to JJ, give JJ advice, you know. There's ways to do it, you know, whether the actors would want to do it, I don't know. If it was done right, but that's the thing, is that they come back, it's always, you know, it's never done well sometimes, but it could be done with the right writing and the right people, but.
That was another thing that was interesting was that Lucy asked him about bad exits, and that was particular with Stephen, Caleb one, and some characters, you know, like Cassie went upstairs to sleep in the pub, and we never saw her again. He said, there's no disappearance. I kind of take umbrage with bad exits, and I won't agree with you on that. That's disparaging or making light of what we've done. Some characters might like Kristen vanish tonight, but don't you think she'll be back? So he's getting shitty with Lisey for asking a legitimate question about characters who've had bad exits. And then that's a legitimate criticism of the show. Like, I guess Stephanie Johnson didn't have a good exit. I think she just kind of left the pub and no one saw her again. And then no one mentions her again. It just, why can't you just acknowledge, anyone who doesn't take ownership of mistakes annoys me. because we all screw up, you know, and I've apologized to my friends probably 10,000 times. But, you know, when you screw up, you have to, you know, suck it up and say, hey, you know what, I screwed up, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why can't he say, you know what, yeah, you know, we could have written that a little better. But it just, I don't understand.
Well, of course, it's the ego, you know. He's not going to say that he did anything, you know, that was their mistake. And same with all with Tony's exits and Teo's exit. They always have to kill him. Like, why couldn't, and I know he's even said that to Corday. I mean, I think he said this in interviews. Like, why couldn't you just let us, like Tony and Anna, because he knows that's what his fans, Tony and Anna fans, wanted. They could have just went off together, you know? If you want to write me out of the show, send us off together. And that's what the fans want to see, but they never give, he always has to die a violent death. Well, but then again, they did it to him on GH, too. He died a violent death again. So
we did not see a dead body, right? There was not.
But we did not see a dead body. Yes, and I told Tay, I said, you have just, you know, you just have those death scenes just down. Just, you know, he does the perfect death scene. So he's had so much practice about it. But yeah, we're all hoping on GH that, you know, that's not the last of Victor. So I'm sure he'll be back. Hopefully, so that's what we're all hoping. We're all, you know, if you want to see him back, just go out there and tweet to Ron and Frank. You know about, you know, if you want to see more Victor. So. No, I don't know. But Corday is the same, you know, same as always. Didn't say about throwing bologna sandwiches at the, or you know,
yeah,
anything. But
yeah,
I remember that interview. Yeah, that's what he wants. It more or less is what he wants. He wants the fans to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else about the interviews? The main things, I guess, was asking about new characters and, super couples. There was something said about super couples, I think. And he's not. I guess they're not into the super couples anymore. I forget exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's why we have a bunch of mediocre to boring couples. They're not super, they're more, they're mediocre. Abby and Ben had basically an excruciating first time together. And I mean, like, I'm trying not to fall asleep watching this, too. You know, Jordan Rayford told us, Ray still has ton more chemistry with Kate. That's with Jordan. Really, Hope and Aiden are like new couple I like. And I like Eric and Nicole too, but Eric is such a dick. I can't watch Eric.
Yeah. Eric just can't forgive. Well, come on, Father Eric, isn't that what you're supposed to do? That's what I keep thinking, you know.
Yeah.
She forgave you for not believing in her, you know, and turning back on her. No, but he can't forgive her.
So if you guys want to read the interview, I gave it that Daytime Roldy. It's on the Days part of the message board. And of course, you guys can call and, you know, we've been getting tweets about it, too, about what he said. And there really was not a single thing he said that was maybe feel irremotely optimistic at all.
No.
The goofy thing was, remember the one he said they backburn actors who have been on too much?
Yes.
No. Yeah, that, like, what actor would you say has not been on the back burner in, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
He's involved in pretty much every storyline. Dan.
Dan?
I
oh, yeah.
Question.
Oh, Dan. Yeah, he's been on, well, yeah. Yeah, he's
and
been
actually,
on.
Like,
yeah.
Seems
like Rafe's been around a lot too. Rafe's been on a lot too. He's always on. Like, he never goes away for a while.
Rafe was on the back burner last summer. You know, Rafe was in the summer coma last year, and this summer was the John coma. maybe Dan will get the coma.
John got out of the coma. Let's
bring on
Jamie.
Let's bring on Jamie and Kenneth on too. I'm gonna bring on Jamie and then we'll bring on Kenneth.
Okay.
Hello, Jamie.
That? Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm trying. Oh, here we go. Jamie.
Hi.
Hey. So, what'd you think of the interview?
Oh, I'm looking at it right now to try and remember what he said. one question, you don't like the word super couple. And he said, well, it's a trap, a super couple in the classic sense of the word enters the scene and everyone else becomes set dressing. And he says the stories are a little bit more intrinsic and settled now. What do you think of that?
He's just something else. If I was Courtney, well, number one, Elton probably wouldn't have agreed to do that interview with Lacey in the first place. So,
but he probably never did an interview with her, right? Was that their first one with him?
But I mean, Lacey's does all the. I think she's in LA, so she interviews a lot of people at LA events, and then she does all the phone interviews that we do too. So I mean, like I said, I mean, they have to have known her reputation that she has hard questions.
You think whatever agent publicist mm-hmm. should have done background, you know, knowing what daytime royalty's like, knowing what she's like, yeah. So okay, Ken, she's probably going to ask you, you don't know. Was he unprepared or was he prepared?
I'm thinking he was prepared, and
I'm sure he was.
He's just a dick, and that's how it came off.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. He also said the super couple was a term used for couples who could do no wrong. And it's like super couples do wrong all the time. Like I mentioned Jack's rape this week, so how are Jack and Jen, that's a couple that do no wrong, but yet they're mentioning Jack's raping of Kayla this week.
Don't understand what the hell the point of that is.
I don't know. I think it's just the whole, I guess they brought up the whole rape thing was because of, you know, when Paige finds out, is she going to think differently? Now, does Eve has to know, Eve knows about it, right? I thought for sure she'd tell Paige, but she hasn't said anything to Paige about Jack raping.
Eve should know, because arrested for it. Yeah, Jack was arrested for it.
Yeah, and Eve on at that time? I can't remember was Eve on at that time, though. That was before Eve, right? Eve Donovan was on the show.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it was before Eve.
I think it was before Eve, but you would think she would have known about it or heard about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised that she hasn't brought it up, Paige.
Paige listening to Kayla's conversation with the patient pissed me off, though.
That is disgusting. Who the hell listens into, you know, I mean, good grief. I mean, I know. She's going
to. I mean, she was listening to the conversation before Kayla even said that Jack raped her.
It's just. To sit there and listen to two people talk about their rapes. I mean, and then blabbing to JJ about it. Who does that?
And then after she told JJ, she said, oh, I should tell Kayla that I overheard.
Maybe she should talk to Kayla first, and then maybe talk to JJ. It's not her place. Why would she feel like she had to tell JJ that his aunt was raped?
Because he might not have known. You know, how does she know that he knew? You know, at that point, he might not have known.
I mean, what if Kayla didn't want JJ to know? And she didn't. You know, when he found, he found out, she never wanted JJ to know about it. I mean, I don't understand why Paige thought it was her place to tell JJ his aunt was raped. I mean, what difference would that have made? I mean, it just seems like it's a whole lot of angst. So Paige will start questioning JJ's character. And she finds
right.
out
that's what it is.
His dad was a rapist.
Because they keep saying, Eve keeps saying he's just like his dad. He's just like his dad, you know. But Jack had a lot of good qualities about him, too, and they're just concentrating on, some of the bad things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, every character on that show is not perfect. I mean, they've shown over the years the flaws of a lot of the characters.
Well, and Sammy says one more time that Kristen needs to go to prison for drugging and raping Eric. I'm going to smack her.
Who said that?
Nothing happened. Sammy.
Oh, yeah. What does she do to Austin? She did the same thing to Austin.
She did the same damn thing to Austin.
Yeah, but they don't bring up that. They can bring up
no.
Jack's raping, but they can't bring up Sammy's.
I mean, good Lord. Sammy did exactly the same thing. She just didn't videotape it. But then she claimed, you know, Will was Austin's son when she knew she had sex with Lucas, like, the day before or something. So, you know, Lucas swimmers were faster than Austin's, you know. I mean, well, I guess some people thought that maybe Austin didn't finish. Or maybe, you know, that. Yes, I thought when I watched it that, you know, they went all the way. But I think some people thought Sammy lied and, you know, they only went so far and that was it. And she just claimed they did it. But I don't know. She mentioned it twice this week that I saw it. I just wanted to smack her. I was like, you did the same damn thing. You know, you have such a problem with it. Why don't you turn yourself in and go to prison? Good grief. That. That really bugged me. Was there anything else about the Cordae interview you want to talk about, Jamie?
I'm looking at it right now.
Well, what did you think about what he said about Jack and about Matt and Teo?
Oh, I agree with everything he said. Yeah, they can always
yeah.
bring him back, even if they're just ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
he also said...
Well, we didn't mention either. Lucy asked him about the whole taping 5 months ahead. And basically...
Yeah, she pretty much asked him, oh, what's the positive of taping 5 months ahead? And he didn't really give any. He basically just explained how
just
far
said,
ahead
oh.
they were. He didn't say what the positive about it was.
Yeah, he basically just... Yeah, he would not say anything negative about it.
It's to save money, right? It's the cost.
It's to save money. That's all he cares about, and he doesn't seem like he just doesn't care what the fan reaction is to bad storylines.
Because they can't fix them.
They can't
yeah.
fix them 5 months later.
Yeah. Yeah, and he also said, "What would you say to a current disgruntled viewer? I'd ask why, and I'd say that I'm sorry to hear that because the numbers over the last 2 years did go up." We've held through a difficult summer, and the numbers have started to inch back up again. We have to do what we have to do. And then later on, he went and said, well, I hope and pray that the ratings stay good and don't drop and the viewers keep staying tuned in once Sammy and Jay leave.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, there's
so he's basically just hoping and praying, but he won't actually do anything. Like a producer is supposed to do, he's just going to pray.
Yeah, I mean, the shows need to gauge and to some certain extent. I mean, it's not like Days doesn't do anything. I mean, they do some pull audiences and stuff like that, and, you know, have people come in and judge characters that they're watching on screen. You know, they do some, you know, testing and polling, so it's not like they don't pay attention to fans, but usually the problem is with their polling and stuff is that they're polling people who've never watched a show. They're just getting the impression of a character or an actor just from, you know, sitting there and watching it one episode and telling you what you think, and that's not a show. But, you know, it's the fans are like, what they're watching and they stop watching it, I mean, you know, you don't have 5 months to fix it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, they have gone back and edited stuff out. We've talked to actors and they've said, oh, yeah, this is coming up, and we looked and, you know, stuff got edited out. Especially with Ian Buchanan, they edited out a lot of stuff involving him. And I don't know. I don't want to hear from the executive producer that he really doesn't give a shit what the fans think. And that's pretty much what he said.
But it's basically what he said. The whole interview,
yeah.
basically, when it comes down to it, we don't care what the fans say or want. We're going to do what we want.
And then another, and then another part he says, try to stay patient with us and try to enjoy these stories as they come up, even if they're new and involve new characters. So a lot of emphasis on the new. Try to invest in new faces.
Well,
and
when we like new characters, new characters, they get rid of them anyway.
They get rid of them.
Yeah.
We liked Fargus. We liked Cheryl. Instead, we have Jordan and Ben and Paige and all these unbelievably boring characters.
Yeah, it seems like the new characters that are interesting, they either get rid of or just put on recurring without a story, and the ones that are horrible get lots of airtime and story.
Yeah, I mean, Barbara has been off the show now for 14 months. I mean, you sit there and think about it, it's like, wow, you know, they've had all this time to realize he was popular. I mean, he's popular with the press, too. Everybody thought, I mean, besides Sean Douglas being a great actor, everybody thought he was just stunning to look at. And, you know, it was a great flirt and very charismatic and had chemistry with everybody and,
yeah, someone said, I tweeted someone's comment on that on the daytime royalty message board and about that and with Corday saying try to get invested in new characters, and then they said, oh, well, I did Vargas and you got rid of him.
Yeah.
That's their response.
Yeah.
And we'd like Cheryl.
I wish she would have brought that up, you know, or brought a new character up that he got rid of, but that would have been great if she did, but it was a good interview. It was a good interview and good questions and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me bring on Kenneth because I know he's all fired up too. Hey, Kenneth.
Hello. Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
I am doing okay.
You mentioned Vargas.
Yes, I I just figured out that all the tweets and stuff, I had no idea all that was going on with the Ken Corday madness. Vargas was a keeper. He was very talented. They could have done something. And I just don't understand for the soap to be in the very last place and we're filming months, almost years, almost a year ahead, and wondering why, things are not going the way that they should go. That's very discouraging to me.
He also, Ken Corday also said that characters go in and out in cycles. Like they'll have a story for a few months and then they'll be on the back burner, or new characters will be on the forefront. Well, Lucas has been back burner for the past 3 years, and Daniel and Rafe have been on the front burner forever. So he lied about that.
That just doesn't. I mean, that's craziness. I mean, it doesn't make any sense because what that's like giving a child a piece of candy and then taking it away and saying they can no longer have it. I mean, it's because you get used to what's familiar to you, and then they take it away. I'm more interested in where the interview is. Where is the interview actually?
Daytime royalty.
Oh.
You can just Google daytime royalty Ken Corday, and it'll be there.
I'm disgusted. To say the least. I mean, because it doesn't make any sense at all. You know, someone said, we should make writing changes. Do you guys think that there needs to be a change in writing? I mean, I think we've had.
I thought Lorraine Broderick or something like, or one of the Coolitons or someone that's already on the writing team can be promoted to head writer.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and the reason why I ask this question is because, you know, before, you know, everything was kosher, and now it's kind of like all went sour, and I'm just wondering if a writing change will even be beneficial at this point, considering. You have Ken Corday. I mean, because it's still going to be Ken Corday's show. So if you're not writing what he wants you to write, you're not going to be there.
Yeah,
you know.
And Ken Corday also talked on and on about core families and stuff. Like he's mentioned, oh, the Courtney's or Brady's or the core families and about the nieces and nephews and children and grandchildren, yet he's not bringing any of them back. He's bringing new characters. Like, instead of bringing Sean and Belle or some of the characters that are related to the core family, he's going to bring new characters that are not related to the core family. But yet he keeps going on and on about the core family. But he's not willing to bring those people back.
I mean, is he having Alzheimer's or dementia or something?
I don't know, but yeah, because he keeps, like, he's really wishy-washy. Like, he says one thing and then does another. He's a hypocrite. And he also said he watches the show every day, but he had no idea that Molly Burnett's scenes haven't aired yet. If you watch the show every day, you'd know that she's not on yet.
But he lied.
Because his producer, you should know when her first air date is.
Lord have mercy. So the days of our lives, Lord have mercy.
The days of temple.
Have you guys been watching the show? Have you guys watched the show?
I have. Yeah, I have. I have.
Thursday and Friday was news fest, though.
This news that, you know, I'm hearing my girls say this to me. I'm talking about you girls. It really hurts. It really hurts my heart. It really does because those who don't learn from the past are destined to repeat whichever one you want to choose. The question is, do you want to be on the air to 2016 or do you not? Do you want to live past that time? A lot of things just do not make sense. I mean, even Y&R is doing another writing change for whatever, and then the number one show. Really? Okay.
How long? We've had these writers for quite a while, right? Tomlin's been there pretty long.
He wrote for the show back. He was in between Sherry Anderson and another writer back in 1983, if I'm not mistaken. I think he wrote the show maybe for about a year or so. I'm not certain on that, but I know it's around 83 or something like that. But I just, you know, if there is another writer after, you know, I'm all for some for them getting a writer that no one else has ever thought of. I mean, there's a lot of great primetime shows out there. I would recruit one of them, or you know, go back and bring Sherry Anderson and Lorraine Broderick would be great together. But at this point in time, I don't know if they would bring back Sherry Anderson or not, or even if it would make a difference. And it hurts my heart. It really does. It really hurts my heart to know all of this. It's just transpiring. And then when they do make the change, or if and when or whenever that happens, what brings the change about? Because Cordae doesn't sound like he, you know, there's going to be any change anytime soon. And then, with that being said, you're stuck with their stories for God knows how long. I don't know. Everything is just is unfortunate. I'm really sad right now. I'm hashtag unhappy.
You know what? I'm gonna bring on Angela. I know she has something to say.
Another call, good.
Oh yeah, I knew to read a lot of people today. I can get the computer to work. Angela,
coming up on mic.
There she is.
Hi, Angela.
Yeah, I'm just listening to what everybody's saying. I guess, you know, I know I sound cynical and it's sad, but, you know, I've been watching this show since I was 8, Mm-hmm. Well, I've been watching it longer than that, but I can remember specifically things from 8 on. So, I'm counting 41 years here. I feel like this is par for the course. You know, we have heard all this foolishness before, and I think to me this is a business plan. You know, this Corday and the show. This has been his legacy, but this has also been his way of earning a living. Now, you know, basically, you know, most of his working life, if all of his life, and obviously his family. And I really think this is all a financial, you know, plan. I mean, I think that, you know, I don't know that there's quote unquote saving money. I think it's that if they are, and I think they're going to, I have continued to think for a long time, they're going to push ahead till they are a year ahead. And if they have got all that show in the can, and even if NBC Universal, which is going through a lot of executive management upheaval, they've gotten rid of they're changing sales and marketing, they're changing a whole bunch of people that could very well easily make other decisions about what they're going to do. But, you know, the thing is, Corday has, and we don't know exactly what his contract reads. Obviously, once they got that renewal last fall, or whenever behind the scenes it was agreed upon, we don't necessarily know exactly when that was. It was announced, you know, before the, you know, anniversary last year, that this is the plan. You know, if NBC tomorrow decides, you know, we're going to go with 20 more hours of the Today Show, you know, I'm sure the licensing fee that Corday is getting now is small. It would have to be. And I think they are planning for the least common denominator. If you look at the cast, you know, they're hiring. I'm not saying they're not good, because I like Casey Moss. I think he's, you know, quite a find. Mm-hmm. These are young kids that do not have a lot of experience. Therefore, they're going to be hired for a whole lot less than a seasoned person. Or, and again, I love Cassie DePaiva. I like Daniel Cosgrove. It's nothing negative against them. Or they're hiring some folks that were displaced out of some of the other canceled shows who've not been able to really find a home. So therefore, while they're very talented and they need some people that are seasoned mixed in with these folks that have never done this before, they're not going to have to pay them the same thing as that they're going to have to pay James Scott or Allison Sweeney or Peter Reckle or whomever. So to me, if they canceled it tomorrow, Corday Productions has all these shows in the can. He can take those because he owns them, and he can sell them to anybody at whatever price. Think about it. When the whole debacle came with One Life to Live and All My Children online, however many months ago that was, they had those shows. They went and they were able to sell them to the Oprah Network to air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he would still get some money for them. He would still get money for the shows, even if he had to go and sell it to someone else. Or also, if you're not knowing what their contract is, maybe, you know, even if they cancel, then they're still saying, okay, here, NBC, you still have all of these shows because we've already filmed through the end of 2015. Or we've already filmed, and I think what they're doing is they're wanting to film through the anniversary. You know, I think that I found that to be one of the most interesting things he said out of the interview, as he was talking about how they're doing this for the fans so that we'll have a show past 50 years. While that's nice, that's not a business goal. That's a financial goal for him, is that they want to have it through the 50th year, and then financially, then see what he can do. You know, is he going to sell it? Who could, you know, what could he do with the, you know, because he's, you know, he owns all the characters, he owns everything. So I don't know. I just feel like it's all a financial thing. I read this interview, and I actually kept the interview. I think it's from 2012. It may have been 2011. I can't remember now. But the last interview he did, and the things he said is that we're all in with EJ and Sammy. And then we're going, you know, and then we're also relying a lot on the younger people, which has always been a real winner for our show. Well, in truth, that's exactly what they've done, is that they gave, they put EJ and Sammy on there, and I personally think that did help the ratings, whether regardless. I mean, there are people that are, you can agree and disagree about the ratings all day long, but the show, I think that helped them in getting a renewal, frankly. And now they've got the renewal, and they're just putting as much stuff in the can, and it doesn't even really matter if it's good. I mean, it's like the lowest common denominator. They did this whole same thing with Passions, when it was sold, and they sold it off to DirecTV for a year, and stuff. All the same types of business moves, have been made before, and it has nothing to do with the characters. And a lot of the dialogue that we've had the last couple of weeks, especially the kind of the inflammatory stuff about, Jack was a terrible person and he raped so-and-so. To me, they're just burning time. They're burning time until, until EJ and Sammy are gone and they can start their new stories. This is like a replay of September 26, 2011. So they're just burning time right now. And just filling up time. And it's to me it's insulting. It's insulting to I've invested a lot in the show for people in my family have invested a lot in the show, and it's just sad. It's a poor ending to a show that has meant a lot to a lot of people, but mm-hmm. I think right now it's simply a financial vehicle for.
How do you like what they're doing with the Jammy or writing? Have you been able to?
I haven't watched everything. I did watch the Susan. I said I wasn't going to even watch the Susan Return, but I did, and I did think that was funny. I thought that was pretty clever. We don't know yet. We don't really know what they're going to do as far as if they give us the happily ever after. They're together. Obviously, next week is going to be the violent, mess, and I really don't have any interest in tuning in to see that. But hopefully if we do get the happily ever after, if it turns out that the death was fake, I'll watch that, and I'd like to see, the little Ejami family, is safely wherever.
Cute. That was cute this week with Johnny and Allie and them, and they all came in and mm-hmm. said about them kissing.
Saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, "In here kissing," and then Allie said, "Oh, that's romantic." And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then tickling
Jay.
I thought that was everybody tickling, Johnny, and then they were all ganged up on EJ. I thought that was really cute.
I think a lot, again, we don't, none of us really know everything that's going on behind the scenes, but I do think that Allison Sweeney and James Scott have really fought for the fans to be able to tell a story, with a little bit of hope on the end. I, like I said, my hat's off to them. I think it's interesting too. Melissa Salmons has joined Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And she came on this week and thanked, especially the EJ and Sammy fans and for all the thanks and love that they've sent to her. Of course, and there are people that, like that and didn't like that, whatever. I think she's a very talented writer. I think she's, they've done all they could do under kind of a bad circumstance, because I think they've planned for quite some time. They're going to be freeing up more than $1 million when Allison and James leave.
Uh-huh.
And this is just like when they got rid of, Deidre and Drake, however many years ago that was now, 2009, that same year they got rid of Teo. So, you can just look at the cast and see, it's going to be really, folks that have never acted before that are young, that are attractive, or they're folks that have been on soaps that are, most of them are over the age of 40, and difficult out there to get a gig, and they've got most of them have got 3 or 4 children to feed, so they're on there not making certainly as much as they probably did on One Life or As the World Turns or whatever, but they're there. But the stories are terrible. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel so bad for Cassie DePaiva. She is very talented, And I just find this remake of Eve to be
I know. I don't
sad.
Like her either.
I mean, I don't know how anybody can sit there and say, oh, I'm really enjoying this story. I don't know. You know, again, everyone has different tastes, but they're trying to bring in some One Life to Live people. They've hired Melissa Archer, who, you know, was one of, just like Brian DeTillo, you know, our clients, Sherry Anderson. They're bringing them on, you know, they're going to bring them on. I don't know when Melissa starts, but it's got to be pretty soon. But, you know, they're banking on the fact they're going to lose some fans from EJ and Sammy. They know they're going to lose. I have no doubt that they've calculated that. And so they're hoping that they're going to bring back maybe some One Life to Live folks, you know, that have, you know, have lost their show, and here are some of their beloved actors. In a different role, but you know, on the show. So I just, like I said, it's discouraging because it's all financial. But I think there are a lot of folks out there, like I feel, where you know, I've been through the bad times. I've been through the thick and the thin. You know, if I've been watching it since 1973, you know, I've seen a lot. I've seen more than just EJ and Sammy. I've seen more than just, you know, Teo and Leanne Hudley. You know, we've seen all of these different stories come and go. I posted last week on Twitter a couple of things, from 1980 and one from 1975, which are older, but are actually some interview and news reports which we would never see today in any circumstance, where the networks actually gave specific time. Walter Cronkite and the CBS Nightly News gave a 6-minute news story at the end of one of their broadcasts with Jeff Greenfield, you know, espousing the end of Love of Life, which went off in 1980 or something, and it had been on at that time. It was the second longest running show, and we never see that today, never. And I thought that was very interesting. And if you go back and you're, you know, we're listening to something that was written in 1980, and they're talking about what has happened with the show, and supposedly that was a golden era for soaps. And it's the same, it applies exactly to today, you know, with Dave. Same thing in 1975, they had Tom Snyder, who used to have the Tomorrow Show, and they interviewed Agnes Nixon. They had somebody from an ABC show, from a NBC show, and from a CBS show. And if you go back, and there's two segments on that, and if you really listen to that, there's not a lot that has changed. There truly isn't. And so I feel like I said, that this is, we're just seeing the end of days. And like I said, right now, I think they're playing it for the finances. I don't think it has anything to do with the story. I think that's a, you know, it's just kind of a byproduct that they can please people. So I hope they can please the EJ and Sammy folks, and that it at least leaves us with the hope that they're off. You know, I've already, you know, kind of said my goodbyes. So, you know, like I said, I will watch the end, and I would, you know, with EJ and Sammy, and hope that it's a positive one. But, you know, it's, you know, to me, I'm done. And, you know, and I think there are more than just me out there that's done. And I think he's got to realize that by now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it really matters.
I really hope that's not the truth, but you know that there is truth in what you're saying. There is as I was listening to you guys, I find it very interesting that Craig Day has launched or will be launching. I think it's called Corday Productions. For like online soaps and stuff, so that is interesting, to say the least. And you know, I'm just, it's not fair. It's so not fair because you look at everything, you look at all the productions, all the things that are a part of it. You know, you have Sony, you know, Sony's involved in this thing. then, you know, of course you have, you know, you have Corday, and I mean, it's just, it's like that tug of war thing, and I really hope, my hope is that what Angela is saying is not, is that there's some truth to what she's saying, but as far as the cancellation part, I really hope that that's not the case, because I don't think I could watch it. that takes me out of everything else, to be honest. So I won't be watching anything else. But oh my God, it's disturbing. It really is disturbing. Of what's going on, and it's almost like he doesn't care. I mean, it's who does that? You know, as I'm talking to you guys, I'm reading some parts of the interview excerpts, and he's like, I'm saying this loosely, something about, he says, we can't write what the fans want all the time, or something like that, to that extent. We feel them, but we can't, I guess 100% commit. And these are my words, these are not his, but yeah, it's just like, I'm like, really? Really,
hello, oh, we lost Kenny. You guys can hear me.
This is Jamie. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, we lost Marianne too.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I can hear you, Jamie.
Oh, okay.
I think Kenneth is making some good points, and I think a lot of folks are, you know, concerned about that, and obviously there's
investment. The one thing Corday also said in the interview is something about it's not fair. Like he said, oh, I'd like to bring back 100 vets, but it's just not fair, or something like that. I'm not really sure what he meant by that, but.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think it was a question about drop storylines. And I think he was just saying it's not fair to the 2014 watchers or what happened in 2010 or something like that. And, I mean, it just kind of didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I didn't understand it either.
Yeah.
The show is not gaining new viewers. They're holding on to... The folks, there is a percentage of people that are going to watch the show no matter what they do. If they put Danifer on there 24/7, if they, you know, whatever there are folks that are, again, that's no slight to Sean Christian and to Melissa Reeves, you know, or anything else, but just that story is just not my favorite. And I don't think it's many people's favorite. But they, you know, regardless, there is a minimum number of people that are going to watch no matter what. And now their hope is, I think, that they're going to try to attract some people from shows that have been displaced, you know, One Life to Live. But, you know, as far as these new young people, the new Chad, for example, it is obvious that they are going to rewrite EJ just in – a little bit younger and much less expensive form.
Yeah.
You know, here's a young man that, you know, and again, maybe very talented. You know, we've only seen him for a couple of weeks, but I mean, they put him in the suits. He's got the attitude, you know, but people are not that dumb. I mean, you know, it's not going to be the same, but I think that's what they're going to try to run with, is that they're going to try to retell some stories that they thought were successful over the years, but with younger casts that cost less money, and sort of just run out the clock. And if you watch a couple of the shows, and I've done this past week or two when I have tuned in, a ton, you know, what, you know, when they get into some of these things that just, you know, why are we having this conversation for the millionth time? Why are they doing this? You know, it's just eating up time, you know. So I just feel like it's just encouraging to see a show that was very well loved end this. Because they could have ended on a high note versus what they're doing. Hopefully the EJ and Sammy thing will end, you know, and give the viewers kind of a happily after at least hope that hopefully the death is not real and that, you know, but you know, like I said, it's just, you know, he's not giving anything to longtime viewers that, to me, that was compelling for to say, oh, yes, well, I really want to continue to watch now after all we've been through. Because, I mean, think about it, after 41 years, there's been a lot of herky jerky stuff, and it just you know, everything that, you know, that Jamie, you've said, and that Kenneth has said, as far as things that could be done, they could be done and are being done on ABC by Frank and Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else, even the CBS shows, are not trying to tape 24, you know, 12 months ahead. I just, like I said, it's just discouraging. Yeah, I don't know honestly at this point if there's anything he can say that's really gonna be positive, that people are gonna perceive as positive, because again, I think it's just too much damage already done.
Yeah, here's what he said: I love to go back and see Patch and Kayla again, or do a big story with Shannon Kim or Carrie and Austin or even Bo and Hope. It's just not fair. It's not fair to what we're writing to do in 2014, if not 2009 or 2010.
Basically, he's saying he doesn't want to bother try to fit them back onto the campus, that it would bump the other storylines, even though no one likes the other storylines.
Yeah,
but
and he also said about EJ and Sammy will leave the show. They'll certainly be addressed in a very clear manner. Things aren't going to be left hanging.
Yeah, and the whole thing, too, I was just thinking today, with Allison leaving and Christy's not on the show, I mean, you have to go back to the 80s when we didn't have Sammy or Carrie on the show. So you have Eric as the only Brady sibling. That's left with, you know, Brady being a Black, really not a Brady. But so that's kind of weird. And the Daytimers need to watch it in a hospital. Because that's kind of where all the buzz is. And, I mean, some stuff they're doing is kind of crazy and preposterous. But, you know, if it's done well, you know, who cares? It's fun.
They're making money. And the fans are enjoying it.
And, yeah, the fans are delighted. And the ratings are, they're doing pretty well in the ratings. And
the thing about GH is Wally Crist's character, Ned, they're bringing back his father that we haven't seen since the 80s.
Yeah, I saw Molly tweet that. Yeah, so, you know, it's just, they're digging into the archive and bringing people in. And even if they're on for a short stint, still, though, it's fun. And Dave is doing the exact opposite. And because the book tells you, if you're losing major characters, you bring in people from the past. That's what they all have done. And basically, they're trying to replace Sammy and EJ with Melanie. I mean, you know, and
good luck on that.
You know, in the Chad thing, I have nothing against Billy Flynn, but number one, I was always against Chad being a Demir in the first place. That was such a bad fit, and I really didn't like Chad. But when Chad,
with a random lady.
Yeah, the whole thing was they brought Chad in because they were going to get rid of Tony and they wanted to have another Demir sibling. That was the whole point of Chad. And everybody knew from the beginning Chad was a Demir. So that wasn't even a surprise to anybody. Everybody knew Chad was a Demir.
Yeah, and I do like Melanie, but I can't think what they're going to do with her when she comes back.
Yeah, I guess they're going to throw her back in with the Chad group, I guess, the Chad and Abby group. But
that seems like wash, rinse, repeat, since we've already seen that.
Yeah, we've all seen, yeah, there's nothing really new going on with that. And so I never liked Chad as a Demir. But then after a while, Casey Dietrich grew on me, and because they kind of let Chad be more like Casey. And Casey was more rock and roll. He was never a suit and tie Demir.
So Casey left, and they brought his new guy, and yeah, he's EJ Light. And he's EJ with an American accent. I mean, just even the way he's dressing, and it's
yeah, like his hairstyle and suit, yeah.
Yeah, it's to me as a fan, I feel so insulted. Like, oh, okay, we're just supposed to buy this as Chad DeMira because you tell us this is Chad DeMira. I mean, even though he does not have any of the personality at all, Chad DeMira. You know, we're just supposed to swallow that, and we're supposed to forget what Casey did all those years. I mean, it's just an entirely different character. Entirely.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like what they did that one time when they recasted Philip with that guy, that other guy, I can't remember his name, but...
Oh, Kyle Brand.
AKJ, because they basically made him Marine, forgot,
mm-hmm.
completely dropped that he was a Kyriakis in the first place,
mm-hmm.
ignored that he was in love with Chloe in high school, and...
Yeah. Yeah. This is just horrible. You know,
One thing that I do think is interesting, and this is kind of a contrast with General Hospital, is that, you know, I think that, you know, I still think that Dave has some very talented dialogue writers. You know, I feel like the Colletons, Melissa Salmons, you know, I think everybody, you know, that they have is really pretty solid, except, you know, David Cheryl is not one of my favorites, but he's also been around in Soapland for a long, long time.
Yeah,
but
I agree. Most of the dialogue
writers
and the actors are good. It's just stories are horrible.
Yeah, but the good thing is that, and here's another contrast. You know, like I said, that, you know, I was pleased that Melissa Salmons joined Twitter. But you know, I've been noticing too on General Hospital that I bet there are now at least 6 writers from General Hospital that are on Twitter now. And for a lot of their younger stories, for the Felix stories and for some of the younger stories, yeah, they have got relatively young people. I sound like I'm 100 years old, don't I? But, you know, but younger writers, these guys have got to be in their 20s that are writing for the younger set. And every week it seems like there's one or two more that have joined. So, I mean, I think I'm probably following about 5 or 6 writers off of General Hospital now. And these are not folks that have been out there writing for 50 years. I think they've got some folks, obviously, that have been, but they've got a mix, and they're interacting with the fans.
Yeah,
and I think that's the
new
positive
blood,
thing to be
new
doing.
New ideas and new stories. Hello?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said, Jamie.
Oh, about, I think it's good that they have that mix of new and old writers because
mm-hmm.
new blood gives new ideas.
Hello?
And it seems like Dave is in the same old writers, same old thing over and over again. Can't think of what to do for Chad, so we'll just redo EJ again.
Exactly. Is that here, Kenneth?
Hello?
Yeah. Kenneth,
my
brother got hung up on. Block Charlie, Ripple tonight. Hello, Kenneth, we hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's weird. It says, thanks for calling Block Talk Radio. Goodbye. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they did that to me, too. Yeah.
That's really strange. Maybe there's like some spirits or something floating around somewhere.
Concordia was listening to us.
Honey, you better not come over here, honey. I got some form. He won't leave, I tell you that. Oh my God, y'all.
What do you think of new Chad, Kenneth?
He's cute. you know, I get so used to the other Chad. I mean, but this one has more edge to him. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've seen enough of him to have an opinion about him. He's definitely more layered because you really don't know what he's going to do. You don't know whose side he's on. I always say, in his particular situation, he's for himself. So, you know, there's conversation with him and Stefano, and you can see his facial expressions, and then you see him with Kate. We don't know if he's playing both of them. You know, we don't know. So I think it's one of those things. You know, it's kind of just like a wait and see type moment. So.
Yeah, but the thing is, what are they going to do with the demurrers once DJ and Christian are gone? Because then you basically just have Chad, and that's it.
Nobody's
only on the phone for now.
I don't know.
Around one character.
Bring one of the old demurrers back, like the girl that got killed back in the 80s.
Renee. Yeah, she is awesome.
Right. That was fabulous. I went back on YouTube and I saw all of those old videos. I'm just like, what show is this? I said, oh, okay, that's Victor. I'm like, oh, snap. This is Days. I said, oh, this was must-see TV at the time.
I know. I was like, oh, is this General Hospital? Oh, no, this is Days from the 80s.
I'm sad, y'all. I'm really sad. Now, speaking of the interview, because the question was, when it asked him about the changes and stuff, and got asked another question, says, is that based on fan feedback? He says, there's another trap question. We are writing the show right now to air in April. If we listen to the fans, They are responding to what's airing now and what was filmed 5 months ago. We have to kind of go by our gut and hope and pray that the fans are doing what we're doing. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. I said hope and pray.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Those of us that have been watching for a while, trust me, is not a good position to be in.
Hope
and pray to get rid of Dinosaur for the past 2 years, so that hasn't worked yet. Still praying.
I think he's worried. I think for him to have said that, I think he's worried.
This is what this looks like. This is what this looks like to me. Okay, this is my brain. Okay, I'm out here in a field. My house. I have built this glorious big house. I have all the foundation and everything, and there's an F5 tornado, and I'm praying that it does not come and suck my house up. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like, that's like a deer standing in the road, just hoping not to get hit. I mean, you're more than likely to get hit because you're in the way, and 9 times out of 10, they're not going to see you. And, you know, I don't know. My thing is this. If you know it's coming or there's a potential of it coming, why not try to change it? That's why I don't understand. You know, and I compare this to anything, not just soaps and stuff. I compare this even to sports. You know, if you know this team is good, why not do all that you can to take them out of their routine? And my same thing, I would say to Cordae, why do the same thing and expect a different result out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It didn't work for you before. So why now? So I'm gonna pray long and hard tonight, Lord Jesus. So I'm gonna pray real hard tonight because I'm hoping for a miracle here because. I mean, when you really look at it, you know, I got into a lot of trouble a couple of weeks ago because somebody was talking crap about Days and they were talking about how great Young Wrestlers was and all those stuff, and so I had to bring some stuff back to their remembrance. And as a result, I was told not to comment no more. But I'm going to continue to comment because I tell people all the time, do not mistake the tone of my voice as being anything other than passion. Because when I speak from passion. Because we have invested our time. We have taken an hour, we take 5 hours a week out of our time, and we put it towards, a show or whatever else. And then potentially now, you know, it might get taken away. I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hurtful. I mean, you're talking about 50 years of history. Don't just go. Go. Because,
yeah.
You know, somebody being selfish and thinking about self. I mean, Y&R films 3 months ahead. I mean, I think maybe even 6 weeks ahead. And they're supposedly politically the number one show. And they don't even film 5 months ahead. That doesn't make sense to me. It does not make sense to me at all.
Yeah, they're the only stuff that some 5 months ahead.
I mean, what money is there to save? You in last place.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess because they're not getting the ratings, and the ratings equal money, so.
Well, if they were number one, the money would be coming in now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but.
They have a financial plan. I mean, it's the only thing, even in my mind, it's the only thing that makes any of this halfway logical is that they want to make sure they've got enough in the can that even if it got canceled or even if, you know, and I mean, and there's a lot of, you know, this, you know, obviously the economy is still not as stable as we'd all like it to be. NBC Universal announced a whole bunch of other executive management changes this week. There's a lot of stuff they're changing around. You know, Sony is not in a good financial position right now. You know, they're distressed. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing as many changes as we are with Y&R regime right now. Is because, again, Sony was counting on, you know, folks tuning in and doing, and, you know, while they're still number one, they're losing viewership. So I think it's, you know, a lot of this, I think, is financial, and it doesn't have anything to do with entertainment or what stories the fans want to see. If, you know, that is a byproduct, and from what Corday is saying, if that's a byproduct of what we're doing, great. If not, that's okay too, but as far as them saving money, Corday is saving money. That's where it's coming in. That's where that money is coming in. There's no way NBC is paying them. I have no idea what the licensing fee is, but there is no way that NBC could be paying them very much for a licensing fee for days. Based on,
I don't think so either. And the other thing is, I'm not against new characters, but the new characters that they brought on over the past year or so are not interesting, and their backstories, they either don't have backstories dragged out, or it's dragged out for over a year now. Like Jordan's backstory is dragged out, and they're not even connected to the core family.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, Jamie.
Look at
what they've done with Chrishell Strauss, who I think is a very good actress, and hopefully maybe they'll give her a better storyline now. But, you know, they dragged out the mystery of Jordan for how many, was it about 14 months? And then basically abandoned it. Whatever it was originally, you know, it's obvious they've changed it.
Yep.
As a Southerner, I'm not really excited about Clyde. I think some of this Ozark foolishness, Tammy Sue, is a little bit cliched and a little bit insulting to those of us that live in the South.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they changed the story when they got rid of Cheryl. So they brought in Cheryl as Jordan's friend, got rid of her, never to be seen or heard from again, and then they brought in Ben and Clyde right after that, so.
You know, and evil,
but his contract
evil,
is up in February, though. I find that interesting. It's kind of aligned with Lauren Coslow's contract right now. If you go on Jason 47, and again, we can't be for sure, you know, that those dates are right. But, you know, a lot of these people that they brought on to the show, usually they'll give them like a 3 or 4 year contract. But his contract only runs through February of next year.
Whose contract is that?
The gentleman that's playing Clyde.
Oh, really? Because he just got there this summer, so I'm surprised already.
Yeah, so it was a short contract.
Okay, so who are all, is there any great writers out there right now that are not on, soaps, or if they were on soaps, they're not on soaps now?
They're all on General Hospital.
Oh, I think I don't know if ABC is still actually having a training program, but I'd be curious. Like I said, if you go out and look and see, I know I started following a bunch of them, these younger writers that they've got on now. It's a good mix on General Hospital, but I'm curious as to where they came from, because these are not folks that have worked on any other soaps before. So I don't know if they've been through a training program, if they're I don't know quite how they're bringing them on, but you know, obviously they're doing, you know, to me they're doing a good job. I'm enjoying watching General Hospital.
I would even give Tom Costello a chance, but he left soaps. He's actually one of my peeps on Facebook, and he's a young guy, and I don't know.
Tom Castiello was fantastic, but I don't think he's ever going to come back to daytime.
Yeah. I could still hope and pray for Sherry Anderson.
We can feel good for her. She's placing a bunch of her actors. She's an agent now. She's placing a lot of her actors on days.
Well, I still can hope. I'm still hoping. I need to contact her agency and tell her I need some work, some work or a job or something. I send her my resume and headshots over there, and I sing to her too if I need to. I need to. Lord, I cannot believe this. I mean, I'm literally reading this interview, and it's so discouraging, and it's heartening. I'm a fan. So what am I supposed to take away from this interview? You know, I'm reading it, you know, and it's out there for public consumption or however else you want to look at it. I mean, are there things coming up that might help bring back the lapsed viewers? I think that some of the characters that the viewers are very endured are going to have more story. We've seen it in Hope and Aiden. We're perhaps going to see some others, well-known characters, step more to the front. I don't want to give any more away. You ain't said nothing. What do you mean?
Well, I think it's telling, too, you know, that we've spent a pretty passionate amount of time here, about 90 minutes or so, and you know, we haven't really talked about anything that went on the show this week. If the show were really compelling, I think we talked about the fact that we had E. Jamie and had the kids, and that was really sweet. But other than that, you know, really, you know, if the show was really good and compelling, we'd be on here talking about that, not Ken Corday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's the idea in our heads that, I mean, this is just like a child, you know. It's almost like, you know, there's a possibility you could lose your baby, and nobody wants that, you know, because like I said, watching this show, you become invested. Sometimes you will find yourself in these characters and you get lost because there's a part of you that is relative to what that particular character is going through, like Will, his character was a home run for me. The home run for me. Because, you know, hey, I am him. You know, and it's, you know, I know what that feels like. I'm glad somebody finally told the story and what that life is like. You know, it's not all peaches and cream. Or the another story, which I thought it was a gold mine, but it was epic fail, was Caroline's Alzheimer's story. I have I got a family member right now going through Alzheimer's. No one knows what that is like. And so no one knows what that's like if you haven't. I mean, it's a domino effect because you're sitting there at the table with somebody who you love and they don't even know who you are. They don't know who you are. Who are you, baby? Who are you? And that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. And it's like that. Which is why I asked, did Kim Corday have like Alzheimer's or something? Because apparently he has forgotten the bridges that brought him over. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I'm done.
Okay, well, I think now's a good time to wrap things up. You know, we really didn't show that much this week. Next week we'll definitely have a lot to talk about with John and Teresa and what's going on with EJ and Sammy this coming week. So I'd like to thank Marianne, Jamie, Angela, and Kenneth for calling in, and thanks for putting up with Blog Talk Radio, dropping everybody's call. So until next week, guys, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you guys again.
Take care.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Love you, too.